You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Ahead of a big week, the Players Championship on the PGA Tour. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall with you for what is a special week in the calendar. First of all, a warm welcome, good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Mr. Tindall.
Hello, it's good to have all three of us back together again.
I was just thinking that, it's been a while, hasn't it?
And the Bee Gees.
It's been a while since we've all been in the studio, so it's good to be here for a big week. Just before we get stuck into the Players' Championship, quick reflection on last week and the Golf Sixers, which Denmark won, Dave. What were your thoughts on the event, first of all? Did it work?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought lots of it went well. I thought it was clear what was happening. I quite like the format. I thought you've got some good matches. It was a little bit contrived at times when they're giving it the wee, but generally I thought it went well.
Yeah, and Denmark, good winners. Torbjørn Olesen.
Yeah, well, he won the World Cup of Golf with Denmark under a different, sort of more normal format, so it sort of worked out well. I actually put up Italy in the podcast last week as a sort of token gesture. But I think we were half 1-2 rather than a quarter 1-2 3-4.
Yeah.
But they did get to the semis, so they played well. So I enjoyed it.
And Brian Harman winning the Wells Fargo Championship, Mike, at that new venue, Eagle Point, last week. Green complexes looked superb to me. Runoff areas as well. It looked like a nice course.
Looked a lovely course, yeah. But I don't think they'll play it there again. The Willow Quail Hollow will get it again, I would imagine. Do you think? Will they play it there again?
I think so. I think that was the word, that it was going to go back to Quail
Lovely
Hollow,
course, though. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see it there. And Brian Harman holding that 30-footer after flubbing his chip on the final hole.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing finish.
It was a good test, especially when the wind blew last week as well, which was good. And the wind might be a factor this week in the Players' Championship, and that's the big event. For those of you with your bingo card out there, I'm not going to call it the unofficial fifth major on this podcast. No, I'm not doing it this time. Dustin Johnson heads the betting at 7-1 here with William Hill. Rory McIlroy is 10-1. Jordan Spieth in the market at 12. Sergio Garcia, 18-1. Hideki Matsuyama, Jason Day, John Rahm and Ricky Fowler all 20-1. And it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. And TPC Sawgrass hosting for the 36th consecutive season, and all the top players in attendance this week, and the man that just missed out on winning his fourth consecutive PGA Tour event last week is the man at the top of the betting, Dustin Johnson. And throughout the years at this championship, Mike, we've seen that what happens off the tee is largely irrelevant. Long players and short players have had success around this golf course. It's your archetypal second shot golf course, isn't this
most
one?
Definitely, David, I would agree with you entirely on that. Definitely have this down as a second shot course, or you have to scramble well. Yeah, and that, and scrambling here is tricky. It's a lot harder than a lot of other of the major events, and major as in top four, but you know what I'm trying to say. Scrambling is quite tough here, but if you can scramble well, you can get away with your second shots. But really, it's a very big second shot course.
Dominating in the lead-up to the championship has been a lot of talk, Dave, about the modifications made to the golf course as well, following Jason Day's win last year. Seven of the greens have been reshaped. All have been upgraded to a new kind of Bermuda grass. And we'll wait to see how that plays out. But the biggest change may be made to the 12th hole, which is now a drivable par 4, having been a two-shot par 4 in years gone by.
Yeah, I don't know whether they'll balance out, whether that hole will now be a lot easier. I mean, generally, it's kind of got people regard it as a very tough course, but the winning score there isn't too sort of bad, is it? So lots of I think minus 15 last year, lots of minus 13s and minus 16. Generally, you know, just creeping into double digits won't quite get you there. You need to go on a bit. So I think it's definitely, I think when you read the quotes, people say, it finds you out. You can't fake it around there. But if you're playing well, there are birdies to be had.
I think that's down to the par fives as well, isn't it, Mike? They're all gettable, these par fives. If you play the par fives well and keep that score together on the par fours, you've got a good chance to shoot low numbers around Sawgrass, but taking care of those par fives is critical.
They're the scoring opportunities, aren't they? Yeah, the wind plays a big part here as well, doesn't it? You play the 17th on a benign day, and it's the most famous hole there. It's quite an easy par three, but get the wind up and it's chaos, isn't it? And it's not the only hole where that's a factor. I think wind can really make it very interesting or not.
Are you looking at certain statistics this week going into the event or not?
Well, you've said it already, Dave. Second shot course. That means that you're looking really at your strokes approaching the green stats, aren't you? Greens in regulation for those who prefer old school stats. But that's the one that I would be looking at now. True ball striking kind of stats are the ones that I'd be looking at this week as being key.
We have seen a mix of players win as well around this course, Mike, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, and not only that, we've seen some huge outsiders winning.
Big outsiders, yeah, the likes of Craig Perks some years back, and Stephen Ames, and yeah, even Fred Funk, and there's been a few, hasn't there? There's been a few surprises, but I think the last few years less so. Jason Day last year, wasn't it? Tiger won two or three years ago, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. 2013, Tiger Woods won this championship, which is incredible to think of that, given how far down the rankings he's dropped subsequently. And we don't know if we're ever going to see him in a PGA Tour event as well. Is there anything, Dave, you're pinpointing this week?
Well, actually, you said about the par fives. I think playing the par fours, I think rather than just saying if you tick over on them, I think that's where you win it on the par fours. Obviously, there's more of them by definition of it being a golf course. But I look at the par four performance stats from the winners down the years. Day topped that performance. He played the par fours better than anyone last year. Garcia, when he won, Tim Clark, when he won. And then others who came second, Stenson was second in par fours, Choi second, Kuchar second. You go through it, those who play the par fours best, that's where.
So it's the ones who play the holes best.
Generally, that's a good.
I'm going to go for par three. Shall I go for par three?
Thermometer.
I get it.
If you play the par fours, the par fives, and the par threes best,
you're in a big chance.
Win, won't you?
Yeah.
I agree with you, though, on the par four performance has been a key statistic around.
Because some courses, maybe you do just sort of tread water on the fours and then absolutely crush the par fives. But here, I think you do need to be really on it. Mm. When I looked through, everyone was all the winners had played them in under par, basically. And some, I think Tim Clark played them in a ridiculous number under par. But if you're maybe two, three, four, five under, I think you're well in it.
I suppose when you're a short hitter like Tim Clark, you've got to play those par fours well, haven't you? Because you're not going to eat up the par fives like some of the other players on the PGA Tour will. I've got a couple of picks for the event. Mike?
Yeah, I've got a couple of picks too, David.
Indeed, I have.
Just the six picks then.
Just the six
Maybe
picks.
We'll,
we might match on a couple, perhaps.
Cross.
Yeah, I think so. I have a feeling.
Okay, Dave, you lead us off then. Who's your number one selection?
We all know, because I was rabbiting on about him a couple of weeks ago, saying I'm definitely backing Justin Thomas for the Players' Championship, whatever happens between now and then. And nothing daft's happened. I think you said he tweeted it last year or sometime.
I'm sure I saw a tweet from him saying it was his favourite golf course.
And this was a long time ago.
I couldn't find it there.
But he's retweeted the same tweet this week saying, I love Sawgrass. And you can see why. Just if you compare him to Dustin Johnson, who has never even had a top 25 at the course and never shot a decent round. Already in his short career there, two times Justin Thomas has played Sawgrass. He shot 65 on both occasions. So when you can do that to a course, you feel like, you know, you're winning, you've got the better of it.
Yeah.
He turned the second one into a tied third, so that was an excellent result. Landed the each-way money. On debut, tied 24th, so that was a nice sort of start for him. And obviously we know what he's become since that tied third. He's become a proven winner, won three times on the tour this year, although one of them kind of at the back end of October, but still on this season's tour as it stands, 16-17 season. I talked about the par four stats. Now, you look at the two par four stats on the PGA Tour, par four performance and birdie or better average. Well, he's top of both. So that was another sort of, you know, flash. That, whoa, that's good. When you like someone and you see that, that's really good. I suppose you can argue he's won his tournaments with lots under par, all in the minus 20s. But I don't think this isn't a minus three sort of winning course, I don't think. So, and I look back, he won his web.com tour title with six under, so it's not like you rule him out because he can't. He's not a flat track bully. He can play well on all sorts of courses. There's just so much like about him this week. He just loves that course. Lots of them are sort of a bit wary of it still, but he just can't get enough of the place. And I think he's playing great again. He had a little dip, didn't he, after those back-to-back wins in Hawaii, but I think he's come right back into it. I just think he's going to peak again this week.
28-1 Justin Thomas is Dave's headline selection this week. Mike?
You not picked him?
I've not picked him. He was the last one off my list, and I can only agree with Dave and everything he's said about Justin Thomas. Also ranks 13th in strokes gained approaching the green, which is a significant stat that you mentioned earlier, Mike.
Yeah.
So I've not gone with him, but I thought he'd be the last one off my list.
I'd have thought you'd have picked him, Dave, because we talked about him last night, didn't we? And I picked him, I think, as a saver. He's not my main bet, but everything that Dave's just said and the fact that he likes playing here, and he's just in good form, isn't he? Fifth last time out in New Orleans. He's a decent price at 28-1, I think. So I'd rather him than people around him in the market, and he's a lot big, four times the price of Dustin Johnson, who doesn't play well here. So I think he's got a big chance.
I think Dustin Johnson will, I wouldn't rule him out just based on course form this week. He is playing the best golf in the world by a margin at the moment, in all honesty.
Yeah. I always used to think Phil Mickelson didn't like this course, Dave, and then he won 1 year here, didn't he? So, you know, Tiger
took a while, didn't he?
He won twice here, but it wasn't necessarily his favourite course. If they play well enough and they've got that much talent, I wouldn't be taking Johnson on either, I don't think, you know, in terms of, you know,
those match 71's
bets and stuff
a fair like
price,
that.
Isn't it? You know, I think, and about the right price, given how brilliantly he's playing.
Shall I go then, next?
Yeah, you go.
I've gone with Daniel Berger, who I'm following over a cliff at the moment. It's the third time I've picked him, I think. Yeah, precisely, yeah. If you've got Daniel Berger on your bingo card,
I've got him, I had him in the bingo.
That.
I did.
You can circle that.
I had him as one of the corners.
He's 80-1, and the last three times I've been on the podcast, I think I've missed a couple in between, but I picked him. And he's played with mixed success, really. Played decently at the Masters, having started poorly in that event, but didn't play very well when paired with Thomas Peters in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. But 80-1, given that he plays Pete Dykhouse as well and was ninth here on his second start in this tournament last season, I thought was fair. And his long game's in very good order as well. Ranked 9th in strokes gained off the tee and 19th in strokes gained approaching the green on his last start. And he's a Florida boy, went to Florida State University as well. And you look back through his recent form, 27th at the Masters, finished 5th at Houston. Big player, big game, 80-1 I think is a decent price. And I'm hoping he'll put it all together this week and his short game's on song. So I'm going with Daniel Berger, a point each way, 80-1 as my headline selection.
Very good.
You've got Justin Thomas as your saver selection, Mike. Who's your main pick this week?
My main pick this week is Matt Kuchar, who I always think plays very well here at TPC. He was third here last year. He's a previous winner at the course. And he's just in decent form. Was fourth in the Masters a couple of outings ago, 11th at Heritage. Didn't play quite so well in Texas on his last outing, but fourth and 11th in his last three outings. He's 52-1. I was hoping for maybe a little bit bigger, but Mark Adson's kept him slightly onside at 50s. But five top 20s in his nine outings here at Sawgrass. Great ball striker, Kuchar, at his best. Possibly not been that much at his best in 2017, in truth, on that kind of metric, but obviously played well at Augusta. Loves this course. He's got a great temperament for this event, I think. He can deal with the travails of Sawgrass pretty well. Just I'd like to see he starts for a strokes gained approaching the green are lower than usual, which slightly diminishes my confidence in him. But I really like that Augusta finish. Being able to lift your game for the big events, particularly when you get on in your golfing career, is very important. So Matt Kuchar certainly is a Sawgrass, someone who I'd consider something of a Sawgrass specialist. And 50-1 is an interesting price.
A 50-1 Matt Kuchar is Mike's headline selection.
Yeah, I mean, with him, you can sort of predict his price at certain venues. So often you kind of always avoid him when he's 14-1 or 16s. Mm. But if you keep backing Kuchar at 50-1 in this event, I think you'd win it, aren't
you?
Yeah.
And you'd expect to get a few places, wouldn't you, even if he wasn't going to win, because he is so historically consistent anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's a great each-way bet in this event. He might find someone to beat him, but even a place is attractive enough, isn't it, you know? I just think he's... he's decent at 50s.
Dave, your second selection?
Yeah, my second selection is someone who ticks a lot of the stats that I like, and it's Russell Henley.
Yes.
He was the last man off my list. Yeah.
He nearly, 66 to 1
yeah,
is.
That's why. I just thought it was a tad short.
Well, you see, when I formulated all this, he was 80s, so it was one of those ones. Yeah. Oh, now what? But
yeah. I think you stick with it. He does look the perfect fit, doesn't he, this week? Florida form.
I loved him at 80s. 66, you were a bit miffed because you knew 80s did exist once. But yeah. I'll take that. I'll take 80 to 1.
Nice try. You'll take 66 to 1.
I'll take 66 to 1, yeah. Didn't fool you. So he's won in Florida before, the Honda Classic, so always tends to play well there. Looking at this course, he's got a tied 17th and a tied 24th. I think those are kind of good foundations for a really big week here. And as I said, he really does do well in some of the stats I've been looking at. Par 4, birdie or better, 28th. Par 4 performance, 10th. Strokes gained, tee to green, 25th. Strokes gained approaching the green, Henley, 38th. So he's really in the top 20% of all these stats.
Yeah.
And then kind of as a bonus, you've got all that going for you. He's 7th in strokes gained putting, so that can't hurt you either. I've read a lot of his quotes this year, and he does sound like this is the best he's ever played. And I do want to be with players who are really on it. I don't want someone to try and find their game at this course, because we go back to that idea where, it will find you out if you're not on it. So some of those.
That's been a big factor down the years at Sawgrass, players coming in with very good form and winning the championship.
Yeah. I remember back in Adam Scott when he won once and he'd come third the week before. It's always stuck in my mind from then that you go with someone who's shown some good stuff this year. So Russell Henley ticks all the boxes for me stats-wise. Really, really playing well. I just think four starts ago he won, so there's a recent he won, and that was coming. You could see that win coming. So I think 66 to 1 when there's a few doubts. So it's partly to do with some of the doubts. I think Spieth's not quite on it at the moment.
It doesn't look that way, does it? But then again, I see this as the perfect venue, even though he's missed the cut the last couple of occasions for Spieth.
How do you brush those away?
Yeah, it's tough to brush those away, isn't it? But I think that given his golf game is based around benefiting from the second shot, really. I mean, I think, does he lead the tour in strokes gained approaching the green this season?
Possibly,
I think he does. I think he's number one in that list, I think, off the top
does.
Of my head. Yeah.
Yes, I've got it here. Yeah.
So he's 12 to 1, I think, based on that.
Right, well, the thing, I was reading his quotes when he was playing with Ryan Palmer in the Zurich Classic pairs thing, and it sounded like he was getting really annoyed with his putting, and you think, well, that's his big thing, isn't it? He kind of becomes human if his putter's not working the magic. So I think he always needs that to be as good as the other top guys.
He might not be
him.
Right on it now, but it's not long ago since he destroyed them at Pebble Beach, and I mean, that was the most facile one of the most facile victories of the season, wasn't it? I mean, never ever threatened that week at Pebble Beach, Jordan Spieth, and that was a golf course which seemingly didn't suit, wasn't it? I think everyone was talking about in the lead up to the event, oh, Jordan Spieth not had much success around Pebble Beach. And then he blitzed the field on that occasion.
I agree with you.
He's not. He doesn't seem to be quite on it at the moment as he has been. Yeah. Jordan Spieth at 12 to 1. I've got another pick, by the way.
Yeah, go on then.
I've got one more. Jimmy Walker is my second pick at 100 to 1.
He was on my maybe long list of 8 or 10.
I think it's a good price.
He is a big price. 100 to 1. Yeah.
I think it's a very big price. You look at he won a major championship 5 months ago. Jimmy Walker, and it's slightly speculative, but he's got plenty of experience around Sawgrass. He's played the last 7 years, and his form has been mixed. He's missed the cut on his last two starts at the venue, but did finish 6th in 2014 and 15th in 2013, and his recent form is quite strong. Comes into this on the back of a tie for 18th at the Masters and a tie for 13th at the Valero Texas Open. Let's not forget, after that major championship win, went on to finish third in a FedEx Cup event, so man for the big occasion nowadays as well. Doesn't rank as highly in bogey avoidance and par 4 scoring as I would like, but he is 22nd on the list in strokes gained approaching the green, and he's a very good putter as well. So I think the fact that he's got recent form coupled with some good course form, major champion, makes him overpriced at 100 to 1.
Do you know what put me off him though? Did you read that stuff that he's got that Lyme disease?
I've not read that, no.
Right. I don't really know what it was, but he said it, I think, in the Texas Open, where he's got this thing called LYME, Lyme disease.
Yep.
Where it kind of comes out, it makes you feel sluggish. Now his results seem okay.
We work with a few people who've got
it. Yeah, it's rife in.
They've not been diagnosed yet, have they, out there? Help you not talk about present company.
Yeah, well, lemon disease and Lyme disease. But he, the main thing is it affects your sort of stamina and your. So that's what put me off him, because I think if there's somewhere where you don't want to feel sort of sluggish and. It's probably airways. It's very taxing, isn't it, mentally? I don't know.
I've not read the quote, so yeah. we'll have to see how that plays
they
out.
They asked him about it again at the Zurich, and he said that, yeah, he did feel tired after one of the rounds and took him a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Said he's not felt right since Thanksgiving.
Right.
So
he's played okay. Yeah.
He said he was looking for meds to sort of sort it out, and who knows whether he's found something good or not, but that... It was just a little thing worth thinking about.
No, definitely, definitely. Yep. 100-1, Jimmy Walker.
Interesting. Mike, Henley was very close on Henley, me. Yeah. Henley was really close on me, just the price. There's a couple of players that I think are interesting in terms of maybe even each way bets, but probably more appropriately top 10 or top 20 bets. I think Lee Westwood has a cracking record in this event. He probably, as we said at the Masters, he probably won't win it, but he's got 3 top 10s in his last 5 outings here. He's available at 80s in the outright market, which is a little bit on the short side, I think. I expected a bit bigger than that. So I think for top 10, he's something like 6-1, is it? Something like
yep.
that.
Yeah, he is sixes, yeah.
Which is interesting. And top 20, somewhere around 4-1, I think, which may be even more interesting.
I don't think he's that big.
No, probably isn't.
Let's have a look. Lee Westwood to finish in the top 20. 16-5, so... Just a shade
just over
3-1.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, not 4-1. Shade over 3-1. Yeah, that would be illogical, wouldn't it? They're both, in truth, are possibly a little bit short, but I'm interested in him. I think he will finish in the top 20. He's playing very solid golf. He won't win it. He'll flatter to deceive a bit and probably finish. I could comfortably see him finishing.
That 16-5 is not bad, actually.
It's not bad. It's not bad for top 20 in this field. Well, lots of players don't like the course. Mm. He'd have every chance of finishing top 20. I think the other one who's a big price, but again, not quite as big with us as I'd like, is an old winner, an old favourite at this course, David Toms, who is not actually playing that brilliantly on the Champions Tour. I expected him to raise much more of a fight on that. He's not won there, not even contended particularly well on the Champions Tour just yet. But again, he's got a cracking record in the TPC. He's got 4 top 13s in his last 6, 4 top 13s. He was 13th 2 years ago. I just think it is a course where solid seasoned pros who like the course play well year in, year out.
And it's not like Augusta in the fact you go to everyone's Augusta records of all the top guys, it's all like 10th, 8th, 6th. Well, here, you'll find loads of miscuts all over the place.
Some good players just don't like it, do they? You know, so. What price is he there, Dave, for top 20 and top 10?
For top 20, David Toms is 10-1, and for a top 10, he is 22-1. So 22s and 10s, respectively.
He could have a little interest at 22s, or even he won't win it. So that's probably better than doing it each way. But I just think they'll go well, maybe include them in match bets. Have a look at them. Those two guys will play quite well, I think.
Yeah, the one that I looked at is Brandon Grace. He's 80-1 to win the event. He's a winner on a Pete Dye track, of course, last year. And he's in very solid form at the moment. A couple of top 15s on the spin. And he had a below-par performance alongside Louis Oosthuizen in New Orleans recently as well. But just putting concerns for me with Brandon Grace at the moment. He looks decidedly dodgy. Did in Texas anyway, 80-1, and that's what put me off.
I agree. I don't think he's putting that well. I think you need to hear as well, to be honest.
He did put Paul in. It's not usually a problem for Brandon Grace's putting, but it has been recently, so that put me off him.
I must say, of the market leaders, I thought Rory McIlroy was a standout. But the only slight kind of question mark is married and all that kind
break,
of stuff.
Just the break again.
But he does play solidly here, doesn't he? And he's surely got to start winning some of these again, you know, this year, and get himself going.
I saw him getting married as a sort of plus point.
It could be. I'm not saying it isn't. Yeah.
No, with like Sergio.
I think it's the fact that he's taken he's not played for a month, has he?
Yeah, I think it goes well when fresh, though.
Yeah.
I mean, when he won the US Open by a mile, he hadn't played since the Masters. That was a long gap.
Yeah.
It's got him down to someone who can just come out fast.
Of the top three in the betting, he'd be the one I'd pick. Let's put it that way. Ahead of Johnson and Spieth, I think McIlroy will have a... I'd be very surprised if he's not there or thereabouts this week. Garcia is a bit of an enigma this week because he loves this course. It's just how he reacts to being the holder of the green jacket.
Yeah, I agree. What about the guys at 20-1? Quick word on Matsuyama, De Rahm and Fowler, all 20-1. Any of those catch your eye or not particularly?
John Rahm catches my eye everywhere because he's playing so well, isn't he? Matsuyama likes the course. De won here last year. I wouldn't be on him just yet, but then again, 20-1 could look massive, couldn't it?
Yeah.
For last year's
same sort of price for the Masters, wasn't it, this year? Jason Day at 20-1. I was slightly underwhelmed with that performance, but again, just coming back, isn't he now, Day?
Yeah, and
there's a lot going on.
His mum was ill and everything. Fowler's very feast or famine, isn't he? He's got a first and a second, and everything else is a miscut. So I guess in running, if he's going well, you might want to get on him in play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did look at Martin Keimer jumping a bit further down.
Yeah.
Just a little bit shorter with us.
Yeah, there is a theory that faders will be suited here as well more than ever because of the redesign, and Keimer, I think, would fit that. He could play well.
He's won it, obviously, and he won his major, first major at Whistling Straits, which is another Pete Dye design. So he's got two massive wins on Pete Dye tracks. Mm. And the other thing in his favour, because he used to be rubbish, didn't he, at the Masters? He was tied 16th there this year, which was a PB by a mile, so... Mm. That counts in his favour, but we've just dodged him a little bit, maybe.
This is John Rahm's debut, by the way, isn't it? And it's almost not as bad as Augusta for the success of, or lack of success of debutants, but it's not far off, is it? There's only a couple have actually won here, I think. So, is that right? That's right.
Yeah. He keeps getting in contention as well, doesn't he, Rahm, and not quite winning. And obviously, it's a bit harsh to say that about a guy that's 22 years old and he's on his rookie season and he's won at Torrey Pines, but he's getting more and more frustrated, I think, when he's in contention now and not closing it.
Yeah, I think that side hasn't yet quite developed, has it, the closing out of tournaments.
He's a real talker on the golf course as well, isn't he? You can see him get so angry with himself because he believes he should be winning these events.
That's the hardest thing to do, isn't it, to close it out. And he's got all the talent to get there, to come and win his race, but then that's the hard bit, isn't it, where, you know, so many people struggle. Only maybe Tiger was sort of just a freak, wasn't he, who could just get there and just win all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's yet another of those, a lot of the big events. A really key factor, though, is that starting well is important. And this is yet another one of them where...
All those stats, if you're not inside the top 10 after day one, you've almost had it.
It really is like that here when you look back, and I've had a good look back at that this time because I think I'll be looking at save a few states back for... Well, if I haven't started well with my bets, but also people have impressed me on the first day and are right up there because it seems particularly pronounced here, I would say, that you've got to be pretty much up there from round one.
Definitely. I think that's got a lot to do with the weather, hasn't it? Because historically in this event, if you've been out early on the Thursday, you've fared a lot better than going out Thursday afternoon. Mm. If the wind... The theory is you get your score in early on Thursday, the wind picks up, and you get the course at its absolute best on Thursday morning. So that would be one thing to have a look at, I think, maybe, if you're looking in running.
I think, though, that Friday's likely to be more windy than Thursday this year.
Yeah.
Perversely. Right. Now, the two players I picked are both late starters on Thursday, so I hope you're not right in that.
Yeah.
But it is something to watch.
Although I thought I read the something like the top 22, I can't remember what the stat was, but the split was 13-9, so it wasn't over-pronounced.
13-9 in terms of Thursday morning late start. Yeah.
That's not too bad, then.
No, it's not too bad. It's a slight... Yeah.
But I guess what you're saying, Mike, if it's good weather Thursday all day, then afternoon won't be as bad, and then you get it done early.
Correct.
Friday.
So you're looking at early starters on the Friday, because Friday could be quite a bit more windier than Thursday. You know, it's early days yet. We're speaking on Tuesday afternoon, UK time, aren't we? But
what sort of wind speeds are you seeing?
The current predictions are around 17 miles per hour on the Friday and about 8 to 10 on the Thursday, which Thursday is pretty normal, you would say. Friday, that could be interesting. You know, it could make it trickier on the afternoon. You'd have to check that again a day, maybe Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Absolutely clear. But I would advise at this track, keeping a few quid back for an in-running bet after the first round. I think it is such a big factor.
Yeah, if you've made a sort of short or long list and you've a couple have just missed the cut for you, well, not actually missed the cut, but just missed you selecting them,
yeah.
and they're going well, then you might want to go in, as long as you can get over that thing of, oh, well, I could have backed him at this.
And you can't think like that, can you? You've got to be, absolutely.
What's happening there and then.
Yeah.
Dave's got his hand up.
Yeah, this is a question for Mike. John Daly won on the Champions League. What price was he?
Did that come out of the blue? Oh, totally out of the blue. I don't think he's ever had a top 10. I'd have to check that. I don't think he has he?
We were looking at his form the other day, and he was almost impossible to pick, wasn't he?
Totally impossible to pick. But some great scenes on the finals. Have you seen where he's getting showered in champagne with the American Stars and Stripes trousers? He's good value, isn't he? There's some good players on that tour this year with Stricker.
It's great to see him win, isn't it, as well?
He's a real character. And it's a really lively tour this year. It's good fun, but I didn't see that one coming.
I just wondered if he dropped a hint somewhere. No, I didn't see it.
I'll tell you that. I wouldn't have picked him if I had 30 goes.
I just sort of saw it on my Twitter timeline and so I went, what?
Everyone
really?
Going crazy. It was. People were posting clips of him in 91 when he won at Crooked Stick and... last week at the and the swings looked
similar.
Identical. God,
massive overswing on it.
Yeah, massive overswing, but he didn't look much different, did he, Mike?
No. Identical, to be fair. Let alone similar. Yeah, it was amazing. So it'd be good if he'd really boost the profile of the Champions Tour if he was competitive on it. To be fair, which would be great for betting purposes and all sorts. So yeah, good. I think Tom should play well as a Champions Tour veteran on in this event this week, as I said earlier. So. But yeah, it'd be great to see Big John doing some stuff. Did we sum up our stakes and things?
No, we've not. Sorry about that. Mike, go on, give your selections. Keeping the show on the road.
Matt Kuchar is my headline pick. I'm going to have a point and a half each way. I'm going to be bold. And then I'm going to have a point win and half a point place, Justin Thomas.
Very good. They're 50-1 and 28-1 respectively. Dave, your picks?
Yeah, I will have 1.5 points each way on Justin Thomas at 28 and a point each way on Russell Henley at 66.
I'm going to go a point each way on both my guys this week. Daniel Berger at 80-1 and Jimmy Walker at 100-1. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do follow us all on Twitter at M. Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf, and at D. Kellner. And we'll be back with a reflection on the Players' Championship and to preview next week's events on the podcast next Tuesday. Thank you again for listening, and we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. If you're having a bet, good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.